hearing a new brother give his testimony of how the Lord saved him. Wonderful thing, isn't it? Wonderful thing. There's so many people in here today that have been saved from so many different walks of life in so many different ways, but they all came to the Lord Jesus Christ, put their trust in him, and they've been saved. And I tell you something, we were just watching a man. He was getting baptized there. He's going to be in eternity in heaven with his Savior, with his Lord Jesus Christ. I watched his face as he got out of that tank. You couldn't have wiped the smile off his face with all the baby wipes in the world. I tell you, the face that was on him when he came out of there then. We know that he didn't just get saved then. He got saved by putting his trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Something simply, but I tell you something, there's something very special about seeing a man obey the Lord Jesus Christ in the waters of baptism and just take that step of obedience. That's what it's all about, isn't it? After we get saved, it's all about walking after the Lord Jesus Christ and being obedient to him. And I trust that if there are any in here tonight who are saved and have not yet been baptized, it's something that's on your mind, it's something that's on your heart. I know for a fact that the elders here would just be delighted to speak to you about it after this meeting if there is anyone in that position. Now we're going to turn to the Word of God just one more time this evening, please, just for one verse. We're going to turn to Romans again, please. Romans chapter 1. And verse number 16. Well, we'll read verse 15 just for the connection. Romans 1, verse 15, the Word of God says, "So as much as is in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are in Rome also. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth." The Apostle Paul's writing this letter to the Roman Christians, and he says to them, "I have a desire to come up and see you. I'm ready to preach the gospel in Rome also." Why are you going up there, Paul? He's never been to Rome before. Why is it you're going up there, Paul? Are you going up there to start a business? To make some new friends? Maybe, Paul, it would be good to start a political career up there in Rome, seeing that's where all of it takes place up there. No, Paul was going up there. Why? To preach the gospel. That's what we're here to do tonight, my dear friends. We're here to preach the gospel. Why? For it's the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. My dear friends, there's no message like this. We live in a world of messages, of media. You can drink it all in. You can spend hours and hours a day just scrolling through it all. And you get messages over and over again. It might be after this meeting, you walk clean out of this room, and this message, it gets replaced by another message as soon as you open your phone and you start flicking through it. And this message is just gone like this. But let me tell you, there's no message like the gospel message. The gospel message has the power to save your soul. I'm here to tell you tonight that God has blessed you. He's blessed you with an eternal soul. Each and every single one of us, we all have one. And God has been pleased to bless us with an eternal soul. But with great blessing comes great responsibility. Because that soul, when you die in this body, that soul is going to go on. It's going to go on to one of two places. It's going to go on either to heaven with the Lord Jesus Christ, or it's going to go down into the lake of fire. And there it will be fixed for all of eternity. Now, when I say that to somebody in the street, they often say this to me, "How do you know that?" That's a very arrogant statement. How do you know that there's a heaven and there's a hell? How do you know that Jesus Christ is the only way to get to heaven and the only way to avoid hell? I say, I know there's a heaven and a hell because Jesus Christ spoke about it. I can't prove heaven and hell to you tonight. I've never been there. But I know what my Savior said. My Saviour said, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it was not so, I wouldn't have told you. As he was speaking to his disciples, he was promising them a place where they would be going because they put their trust in him. He also said this, though. There is a place of weeping and gnashing of teeth where the worm never dies and where the fire is never quenched. You know, in our world today, dear friends, it's not so very popular to be this intense about things. Everyone just wants to take it easy. Nobody really wants to hear the truth. The truth has been set to one side, and we just want to hear nice messages today. Inclusiveness. What can we do which is nice? How can we just bring everyone all together and just do nice things? Let's not talk about things which might be awkward or truthful. No. When you walk into this hall, you're going to hear things which are the truth. How do we know that they're truth? Because they come from the Word of God. It was spoken of the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you know what our dear brother is here, who's just been baptized? He's a follower of a man. He's a follower of a man, the Lord Jesus Christ. He's believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, and he's got saved. And now he's following after man. And he believes everything that man said. And I believe everything that man says as well. And you know, if you want to go to heaven, and if you want to avoid hell, all you have to do is believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. That's all you have to do tonight. God has made it so very simple for every single one of us. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. That's all our brother's done. That's all I did 6 years ago. I don't want to steal too much of his thunder tonight. But just to tell you, before I got saved, I was crying out to God for 9 months, Lord, forgive me of my sins. Lord, forgive me of my sins. Lord, forgive me of my sins. I knew I was a sinner. I knew I was heading to hell, but I wasn't yet saved. There was one day where I got down, same prayer. Lord, forgive me of my sins. And the clearest thought I've ever had in my mind came across my mind, and it was this. You need to trust in what has already been done. Jesus Christ died on the cross for sinners. He died in your place so that you can be set free. He died in my place so I could be set free. And in that moment, as I was praying there, I put my trust in the Lord Jesus Christ and I stood up a new man. Saved by the grace of God. Now, I lived a very different life to Stephen. I certainly wasn't going to Catholic confession, wanted nothing to do with it. I was living for parties, I was living for all sorts of stuff. Trust me, 27 years of my life, that world will not satisfy you. I lived in it. I went to the best parties. I went to the best places. It doesn't satisfy. Only Christ can satisfy a soul. He said, come unto me, all ye that labour and are heavy laden. I will give you rest. And let me tell you this, me and Stephen, we came in very different ways. But when it ultimately came down to it, we got saved in exactly the same way. And if you want to get saved today, you'll get saved in exactly the same way. Coming to the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ, confessing that you're a sinner, and believing on him for salvation. It's a simple message, but often the simple messages are the ones that are hardest for us to take. Can it be that simple? Well, maybe it's not all that simple, you know. It's quite hard for us, isn't it, to admit that we're sinners. It takes a lot of humility to admit that we're sinners, you know, and that we deserve the lake of fire. I'm very thankful to hear my brother's testimony tonight, because there's many a Catholic person that I've met who doesn't believe that they need to be saved, doesn't believe that they need to trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, that they can just carry on going on doing these good works that the Catholic Church tell them to do, and one day it might work out all right. I am so very thankful for the Lord Jesus Christ that he dispelled that myth in our dear brother's mind and showed him that he needed to be saved. Because when we know that we need to be saved, It's just as simple as coming to the Lord and seeing the one who died on Calvary's tree. The text that I read tonight, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ." You notice what Paul says there? "I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ." It's a very individual thing, this gospel message that we preach to you, dear friends. It's a very individual thing. When I got saved, Stephen didn't get saved. And when Stephen got saved, I didn't get saved. And God is saving people one person at a time. And you, my dear friends, in this audience tonight, you as the individual, you have to have dealings with God. You have to. You either come to Him today, now, and believe on His Son for salvation, or you have dealings with Him at the great white throne, where all your sins will be brought up before you, and you'll be cast into the lake of fire for all of eternity. My dear friends, we try and preach as earnestly as we can with you, because we don't want you to go there, and there's no need to go there. That place was not created for mankind. It was created for the devil and his fallen angels. But if we don't come to the Lord Jesus Christ today as individuals and put our trust in Him, well, we'll have to stand before God as an individual. And our sins, you know, they'll be brought up there at that great white throne judgment. You say, "I don't believe I'm a sinner." Okay. Let me just do a little test with you. You're in your bathroom tomorrow morning. And as you're looking in the mirror, a neon light flashes on your head. And it gives away what you're thinking. "I look good," as you look in the mirror. And you realise that as you go through the day, that neon light, it's going to keep flashing every time you meet someone, every time you go to shake their hand and introduce them. Let me ask you, if people could know what you were thinking all the time, would you walk out of that bathroom? I don't think I would. We know it, don't we? We know there's something deep rooted within us. It's why we forget people's name when we introduce ourselves to them, because as we're shaking hands with them, we're judging them. We're looking up and down at them. We're thinking about them. And oftentimes we're thinking negative thoughts, aren't we? You know, think about something else. If your life was just plastered on this screen behind you now, would you stay in this room, or would you be running for the hills? I wouldn't want to sit in this room with my life laid bare on that screen behind you, because I know I'm a sinner. I know what I've done. And I believe we all know that we're sinners deep down. It's deep rooted in us. But it's a precious moment when we just accept. Do you know, it's a liberating moment just to accept that you're a sinner? Because then you're close to salvation. It's a liberating moment. Don't be afraid of it. There's no need to be afraid of it. If you really want God's salvation, if you really want to be saved, first step is just admitting you're a sinner. Second step is coming to the Lord Jesus Christ. "For I," Paul says, "am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ." I'm not ashamed of the good news of Christ. This message that we preach, dear friends, it's the best news that there's ever been. There's no better news than Christ dying for our sins according to the Scriptures, than being buried and risen again the third day according to the Scriptures. You know, that perfect, blessed man, the Lord Jesus Christ, who didn't deserve any of what He suffered on Calvary's tree. He suffered in your place and He suffered in mine, so that you and I can be set free. It's the free gift of salvation through God, and it's the best news that has ever come into this world. You know, the Lord Jesus Christ, He left the throne room in heaven. He came down and He walked amongst men, and it was said of Him He was full of grace and truth. He taught men the way of life. He healed the sick. He raised the dead. He made the blind to see. He did everything well. No man could find any fault in Him. In fact, there was a time where some people were sent to arrest Him. And as they got to Him, they had to come back. And they said to the people who sent them, "Never man spake like this man." Never man spake like this man. This is the one we present to you tonight. And I tell you something, there's nothing to be ashamed of in the Lord Jesus Christ. Absolutely nothing. I love my Lord Jesus Christ. Why? Because he first loved me. And he's cleansed me of all my sins. And he's given me eternal life. And he's taken me to heaven. And all he asked me to do is believe. That's all he asked from me. There's nothing to be ashamed of in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ and this good news. Let me ask you, are you ashamed of the Lord Jesus Christ? That's the challenge, isn't it? Are you ashamed of him? If you want nothing to do with him, I tell you something. When I'm at work, we can be having a conversation about anything. It can go on for 20 minutes, half an hour, 40 minutes, over a nice cup of tea. You can be really enjoying one another's company. As soon as I mention his name, it just changes. Just changes. Why? Because he absolutely divides everyone. You either are ashamed of him, or you're not. But be careful now. Because he said, he that is ashamed of me and of my words, I will be ashamed of him. There's a day coming where those who have confessed the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ will confess them before his Father in heaven. Do you know what we've just seen from our dear brother this evening? Just confess the Lord Jesus Christ. And I confessed the Lord Jesus Christ 6 years ago. And you can confess the Lord Jesus Christ tonight in your own heart, just as you sit there now. And I tell you something, you'll never be disappointed. You'll never, ever be disappointed in taking him as your own personal Lord and Savior. For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. That's another very polarizing statement there, isn't it? It is the power of God unto salvation. Josh very kindly introduced me as from Birmingham. Or it may have been Joel, I can't remember. I have to correct him, I'm from Preston, but I live in Birmingham. Don't want to be associated with, you know, anyway. But in Birmingham, where we reside now, there's a lot of Muslims there. And when I get up and start preaching that Christ said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Oh, well, it doesn't go down. It doesn't go over so well. So I take him to another text and I say, neither is there salvation in any other. For there's none other name under heaven given amongst men whereby we must be saved. Christ himself said, enter ye in at the straight gate. For wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat, because straight is the gate and narrow is the way that leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. My dear friends, don't be deceived this evening. Just because there are probably millions upon millions of people sat at home watching the Wimbledon final this evening, rather than being in this room, does not mean that this gospel message is not the power of God unto salvation. It is the power of God unto salvation. It absolutely is the power of God unto salvation. You say, what's the evidence for it? Exhibit A. Saved out of Catholicism. Saved out of false religion. Exhibit B, saved out of a lifestyle of debauchery and drugs and drug dealing and DJing. Every time a person gets saved, it exhibits that the gospel is the power of God unto salvation. We've already heard tonight what it means for Stephen, and I can tell you what it can mean for you as well. It can mean every single one of your sins forgiven. It can mean peace with God. Peace with God through your Lord Jesus Christ. It can mean a home in heaven waiting for you. It can mean the fear of death taken away. It can mean that you get to spend all of eternity with the blessed Lord Jesus Christ who died for you on Calvary's tree. I tell you something, there's some power in it, my dear friends. If it can take a wretch like me to heaven, there's some power in it. And it's all centered in his Son, even the Lord Jesus Christ. It says, Paul here, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. You know, there's only one thing that you need to do to get God's salvation. I know I've been harping on about it, but you just need to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. It's available to everyone. God wants everyone to be saved. His will that everyone is that everyone will be saved. When Christ died, he offered a perfect sacrifice that can deal with the sins of the whole world and the sin of the world as well. The sacrifice that he offered on Calvary's tree is enough for anyone and everybody to come to Christ. And the only thing that will bar you from salvation is if you choose not to believe it. All God wants from you is to take him at his word. Just to take him at his word. He says that Christ has died for you. And if you simply believe on him, you can be saved. Now, do you believe that or do you not? God has made many promises in this book. Many promises. He's given many prophecies as well. In this book, there's 2,500 Bible prophecies, roughly, depending on who's counting. So far, 2,000 of them have come true to the absolute letter. God is a God who keeps his promise. He's a God who keeps his promises. And if you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ tonight, he will save you. And he'll give you a home in heaven for all of eternity. Why does it come down to belief? Well, because belief is a currency that anyone can deal in. If you had to pay £1 for salvation, there'd be many people across this world who couldn't afford it. If you had to go on a pilgrimage somewhere for salvation, there's many people who couldn't manage it. If you had to fulfill a whole big law of commandments, we'd all fail it. But God has made it very simple for us. And he's given it in a currency that anyone can deal in. Because anyone can exercise faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Anyone can choose to believe or not believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. My question is tonight, and this with this I'll finish, where do you stand? Where do you stand, my dear friends? These are eternal matters that we're talking about. If you reject the Lord Jesus Christ and don't believe on him, then the lake of fire awaits. If you come to the Lord Jesus Christ today, don't delay, because you're not promised tomorrow. Boast not thyself of the morrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. But if you do come to believe on him today, you have this promise that you shall be saved, you shall be in heaven with the Lord Jesus, and you shall spend eternity in rest with him. May the Lord bless his word. I've got a hymn to finish if you want. Yeah, we'll just finish with hymn 4.